I am Amalia of Oldenburg, Queen of Greece. When I arrived in Greece, my new homeland, I wrote to my beloved father how much I was enchanted by the moonlit nights of Athens. When there is a full moon, there is enough light to even read. Today, though, heavy clouds loom over the Athenian horizon. I'm in my room, I needed some time alone, to think. I realize that tonight's events have made the situation critical, and if not handled properly, the king may even risk losing his throne. It's only just a month since we moved to this palace, our new home, and Otto has just revealed his fears to me, that we might be forced to leave forever. How did we really get here? How can I even think about leaving Greece? It seems just like yesterday when I saw Greece for the first time, even though 6 years have really passed since then. I was only 18 years old, full of dreams and enthusiasm for the new life that was waiting for me. I had just married Otto, King of the Greeks. Otto or Othon and I have known each other since we were children. So my family immediately accepted the proposal of his father, King of Bavaria, to marry his son and become the Queen Greece. I will never forget the warm welcome I had from the Greeks when Othon officially presented their queen for the first time. The day chosen was significant, March 25, the date when the revolution against the Turks started in 1821. My new homeland immediately fascinated me. Athens may have been a small village that in no way resembled a European capital, but its clear blue sky and the ancient remnants of its glorious past, which you could see everywhere, tipped the scales to its favor. As the country had never had a monarchy before, there was no palace to house the royal couple. So we first settled in a house more suitable for a bourgeois family. But Othon assured me that plans were already being prepared for the construction of the palace, which would be a real jewel of the capital. I had a very strong bond with my beloved father. After all, I was raised an orphan as my mother died when I was 2 years old and my father took great care of my upbringing and education, but nostalgia did not take over my heart. I had so much to learn, so many new things to get to know. Full of enthusiasm, I rode my horse through the narrow streets of the city. A queen was something unknown to the people of this country, let alone a queen on horseback, which must have been a very strange sight. Equally so, the customs of these people were so strange to me that I set out to get to know them better by traveling as much as I could. On carriages, steamships, or any other means I could find, I visited every corner of the territory. I met people who were kind, warm and studious. Of course, there were also funny moments, like when a woman of plebeian origin approached me and started giving me advice on childbearing, as the rumor had already spread that the royal couple might not be able to have a successor. Despite my enthusiasm and love for my new homeland, which was constantly growing, I soon began to worry about the situation prevailing in the newly formed state. I did not intend to get involved in Otto's affairs, but I knew it would be necessary. The king, being indecisive and somewhat timid, would find a reliable advisor in me, whom he needed because of the very complicated situation he had to face. Greece, which had just been established as a sovereign country after the liberation from the Turks, still had very limited borders. Beyond them, the struggle of the Greeks for the liberation of other unredeemed areas continued. It was a fair fight, and of course the king and I supported it with passion from the beginning until today. This attitude is frowned upon by the great powers of Europe, England, France, and Russia, who also did not like my marriage to Otto. From the moment they had decided to create an independent Greek state and had chosen Otto as its king, they considered it their self-evident right to find a bride of their choice for him and also dictate how he is supposed to rule. I am really sorry to hear the gathered crowd shouting slogans against us, because I know how many fights we have given to defend their interests. From the first moment I settled in the country, I realized that I would have a very difficult task. I saw the division and I set as a goal to do what I can to stop it. On the one hand, there was the aristocracy, the phanariotes, and the educated Greeks from abroad who considered that the positions of responsibility rightfully belonged to them, and on the other hand there were the uneducated but heroic fighters of the revolution of 1821 who gave the country its freedom. I admit that I loved the latter more because of their authenticity. In fact, my choice to prefer their daughters as ladies of honor was highly criticized by our Bavarian courtiers. Of course, little did their opinion interest me. From the first moment I disliked these compatriots that I found already settled in the palace. They behaved arrogantly and underestimated the people. I am also well aware that the situation we are experiencing today is largely due to them. Before Otto became an adult, Bavarian regents ruled the country. Even today he sometimes seems powerless towards them, and that makes me angry. He should have put them in their place a long time ago, so we might have avoided the worst. Their own waste of state money handed over an indebted state to Otto, and now he needs to dissatisfy his people by imposing necessary but unbearable measures. The gathered crowd is now protesting against these measures. Macrogianus and the others incited common people to demand a constitution. But how many of them really understand what this means? In fact, they are simply shouting their anger at the difficult financial situation and how it is affecting their lives. On the one hand, I understand them, on the other, I would very much like them to be able to see the whole truth clearly. I am sad that they see us as their enemies, as the cause of their misery, at a time when our only concern is their good. Who will deny this? Who does not realize how much I loved this city and how much I tried to make it as beautiful as its glorious past deserves? My plans for the royal garden have already been implemented. I will bring the rarest and most beautiful plants from all over the world, such that even the best gardens in Europe have never seen before. Work has already begun on the construction of the country's first hospital and orphanage to stop orphan children from wandering in the streets and falling victim to exploitation. I love children. I am saddened by the rumors that I may be to blame for the reaction against us. I want so badly to give King Othon a successor, but unfortunately I'm afraid I will not succeed. This is another weapon in the hands of our enemies who believe that a monarch without a successor is doomed. We have so many plans with Othon, and now everything is in danger of being lost forever. The cries of the crowd outside grow louder. Othon is still locked in his office. He had earlier sent his lieutenant to talk to Colonel Calagius, but the crowd arrested him. I am afraid that the king has been overwhelmed by timidity. He stands indecisive and passive in the face of the current events. If he does not react immediately, it will be too late.